WKRP Live with Cedric Miller has a desire to transport their listeners to a world of thought upon issues like Christian values, the appeal of Christianity, contracts with God, tenement stories, and so much more. Cedric Miller will be interviewing up-and-coming gospel artists, pastors and community leaders, and people just like you. We're going to figure out, together, what the heck is really going on in society today. It's an open forum, and call-ins are encouraged, so tune in and become a part of the discussion at the global table, where all points of view are considered.
All right, and thank you all again for tuning in today on WKRP Live. Well, today we have a very special guest, and also I'm honored to have all here with me today my great new co-host. Her name is Lucretia Stallworth-Thomas, and she will be our co-host today. And we have, like I said, a great guest today to be interviewed. His name is Chaplain Tom Briggs, and he's a chaplain for the Montgomery County and City and Federal Jail. And I thank him so much for taking out the time and coming on WKRP Live. So we're going to get right into the interview and introducing today my friend and also a brother in Christ. His name is Chaplain Tom Briggs. Chaplain Tom, how are you doing?
Cedric, I couldn't be any more blessed. I love Jesus with all my heart, and I'm so glad to be able to share what God's doing behind prison doors locally in our local Montgomery County and city jails.
Man, that is so great, and that's awesome. Well, Chaplain Tom, let me ask you a question. When did you begin your journey with the coming into the system with the praying with the inmates and just going and talking to them? How did all that get started?
Well, it started by just I had a desire. At one time, I had my own manufacturer's rep company, and I used to travel quite a bit. I used to travel and call on heavy industrial accounts, pulp and paper mills and petrochemical plants. I dealt with the corrosion industry. But I felt in my heart that, you know, God just didn't put me on this planet just to make money. That there was something more that he had for me to do. And so I got into some serious prayer time. And the more I began to pray and seek God's face and ask God what it was that he had for me, doors began to open up. And I was asked one day to go to a local nursing facility. At that time, it was called Covenant Village. And I just went out of the desire of my heart to minister to people about Jesus. And I had an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with the elderly. And one of the very first people that accepted Jesus Christ was a Jewish man, an old Jewish man that asked Jesus to be his Messiah, to come into his heart.
Wow, no kidding. That is so awesome. And that is so great. So these are the stuff that was really leading you to your ministry.
Exactly. And, you know, as far as the jail ministry, I had never thought about growing up being a jail chaplain. I mean, that was really not on my plate of things to do. I wanted to make money. I wanted to, you know, be successful, and I thought that that's what success was all about. Yeah. But I found that really real success, it's not what we achieve in society and achieve in life, but it's really what we give away. And I found that the more that I gave God's love away, the more doors that he would open up for me. And just one thing after another, I started getting invited. Doors started opening to, started going to Frank Lee, minimum youth security jail. I started getting invited to different places. And the next thing I knew is I was being invited to join some men down at the city jail, and that's sort of where the ministry took shape and was birthed.
That is so awesome, man. You know, God has a way of doing things when we think of one way, one plan that we have. He will alter that thing and say, I'm taking you the individual route. That is
well, exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly, and I know you've got listeners probably that are, you know, wrestling with the very same issue, but I find that as we sincerely enter into a place where we're talking to God openly and honestly, you know, God has a place. Not only will He use us for His glory, but He'll also provide. You know, I think a lot of people are scared to death. You know, well, how am I going to live, and what am I going to do? And you know, a faith walk can be very, very challenging, and almost frightful at times. But I'm going to tell you, when you're walking with Jesus and you're walking in His ways, there's yes. nothing that God won't do to touch a heart or a soul, and He wants to use just everyday common people like myself, you, and all the other many people that listen on the radio, that they have an opportunity to serve God just by being open to His Holy Spirit.
Man, that's awesome. Well, let my co-host, Ms. Lucretia Bauer-Thomas, I know you have some great questions you want to ask. So I'm going to turn
yes, hi.
Hey, Lucretia.
Chaplain Bridges, how are you today?
Oh, I'm blessed always.
Awesome. I've had the opportunity myself to go into the prison and minister. I've ministered at Tutwiler as well as Kilby. And I really find it an honor and a privilege to be able to do that. So I would like to know what it is that you do when you go into the jail system. What is it that you do when you get there?
Well, when we get there, we because we have a team of volunteers. I'm a full-time volunteer, by the way. We do all this strictly, you know, on faith. We don't receive any kind of remuneration or compensation from the county or the city. So we walk by faith, but we go in and we have set places within the jail. For example, at the county jail, we have two facilities. We call them the J1 facility and then the J2 facility. And within those mm-hmm. facilities, we have designated areas where when we call for a particular jail cell pod, and a jail cell mm-hmm. pod may have 20, 30 individual inmates inside of that cell pod. And then mm-hmm. it's all volunteer. And anybody who would like to go to chapel services, and they're invited. And we'll get anywhere from one to 15 individuals that'll show up at a time, and then we present the gospel. We tell them about Jesus.
Amen. Now, how often do you do this? Is it once a week, or do you do it daily?
We have this three times a week, from 8 to 11, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, at the county jail, and then we have the city jail. You know, in the morning times on Sunday.
Okay, that is awesome.
True.
You, now, is anybody welcome? Is anyone welcome to attend those meetings? I know you in the prison system, you have so many different backgrounds of people. So how do you handle that?
Well, again, you're talking about a secured environment, so we can't just bring people in off the streets to go in and sit in a meeting. You have certain security clearance issues that you have to deal with, and people who are interested would be interested in doing. First thing that I would solicit as far as an individual coming would be they need to have a strong personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two, they would need to be able to, you know, pass the security check. They would have information that they would fill out on a form, and then a background check is done. Then they would need to see a 45-minute film on what not to do. In other words, there's certain things that you can't just bring in telephones or things that you would distribute. That's called contraband, and that's a no-no. The only thing that we bring in is our heart for Jesus, our love for Jesus. We are given the leeway to hand out Bibles. Every inmate that comes to chapel service receives his or her own Bible, that which they are able to keep. It's not property of the county or the city. And then we give out what's called our daily bread. And you've probably seen the Our Daily Breads. They're little booklets that will give stories, and then they can also, the inmates use them as a supplement to their daily Bible devotions.
Amen. Okay, for the inmates themselves with the different backgrounds, are all of them, do they usually come together when you have the different religions or different beliefs or different, you know, some might be a Muslim, some might be a Christian or whatever the background is. How do you address that? Do they all come together in the same setting, or how is that handled?
Well, they come in a Muslim, they leave a Christian.
They come in a
Buddhist, they leave a Christian. They come in lost, they leave saved.
Okay, amen. So you find that they are receptive when they're the inmates behind bars. Do you find that it is easier to minister to someone there or versus someone on the street? Are they more receptive of receiving the gospel?
You know, the way I look at it, Leticia, is every person God brings across my path is there for a reason.
And, amen.
You know, whether it's a stranger on a street, somebody that I'm at the post office, somebody I bump into at the grocery store, somebody that I meet down at the Montgomery County or city jails, every person is a person that Jesus Christ died for on the cross.
And yes,
they have as much of a right to receive Jesus Christ as you or I did when we were lost. And it's just that God needs a mouthpiece. God needs somebody that is willing to say, hey, do you realize how much God loves you? You know, that Jesus Christ died for you. You know, we're not presenting a religion. We're presenting a personal relationship. And, you know, I know people get all bound up with different denominations and religions and all this and all that. But, you know, I want to know when I die, when I take my last breath, I want to know where I'm headed, that this is not the end. You know, it should be the goal of every Christian believer to share with his loved ones, with his family, with his neighbors. You know, Jesus even said to love and to pray for our enemies, you know, people that we don't get along with. So, I just look at it, every opportunity to present the gospel, and I'm wearing right now my bright red shirt that's got Jesus Saves on it, you know, and I like to wear it when I'm walking, because every person that passes me by, I wave to, and I always like them to see in big letters Jesus.
Man,
so that's what we're all about.
That is so awesome, man. That is so awesome. Like I know a lot of guys might, like you said, go in one way, but they leave out going another way. And the thing is, once they leave out, we pray that they stay, even though the
exactly
hard, you know how one way you, like you're ready to get out and you're praying, okay, when God opened that door, then once they're back out there, they're trying to almost get back into the same thing. But our prayer is God will keep, you know, to maintain.
Well, you know, and also too.
Please,
also,
please.
Too, says Cedric, that, you know, there's a lot of guys that will, and gals that will spend time in Tutwiler, or they will spend time in one of the county prison facilities and do time. But, you know, I get reports back that these men and women that accept Jesus Christ, they continue to grow. The first thing they do is they get involved in the chapel service. And I mean, I get some of the most unbelievable letters back where, you know, I had an opportunity to minister to the warden. I had an opportunity to minister to the regular guards that serve the inmate population. Every person that God puts in my cell pod, I pray with to receive Jesus. So a lot of times when the guy has a sentence, you know, that my encouragement is, look, you're going into the prison system washed and clean by the blood of Jesus from your sins, and look at this as not being punishment, but look at this as being a mission. And you're going on the mission field into the prison, and you're God's voice.
Amen. And that is so true. But right now, we're going to, Chaplain Tom and Lucretia, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk about more of that. That's true, how people, they can, it's a mission. You know, they ain't always punishment, just like with Paul. There's a mission. God has a plan for everything and everyone. But we'll be right back on WKRP Live with the after this short.
I know y'all remember this one.
I enjoyed told that song, God Will Provide. I enjoyed the interview with Reverend Andrew Cheers. He was here a couple of weeks back, and it was totally awesome. Love that song. And also, we're back and with our special guest, Chaplain Tom Bridges, and my co-host, Patricia Stallworth Thomas. And we're talking about his journey, his mission, as we say, in life, with working with inmates that come, I gather, from probably different parts of around the world, you know, because they are still, you know, inmates, as I was saying, we were talking about, and Lucretia was saying as well, Chaplain, about you have to deal with all different kinds. I know different backgrounds and different things in life, but it still all comes together, works for the good of them and love the Lord. And so we're talking about that situation, too, as my techs are working out a few little schism. Southview Worship. Appreciate, you know something about Southview, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, Southview Worship Center is a place that people right now this week, they are having an awesome submerged vocational Bible study class. It is totally awesome. I myself went there, my family and kids, man, they're teaching the kids about different things, just being godly and different ethics, and it's just you got to come out of the spirit, Painesville, Alabama. You know, I said Michael, but tell the folks something about that.
Would you repeat that, Cedric, please?
I said, tell the folks something about Southview Worship Center as well. Church.
Southview Worship Center is a church that began about 3 years ago. Pastor Carr Bell started it, he and his wife, Eleanor Bell, in the Hanover area. He started in his funeral home, chapel. And now we're in the Dollar General facility behind that funeral home. It is an awesome ministry. We're touching the lives of so many people in the Hanville and surrounding areas. We've seen so many miracles take place during that time that I've been there. God is truly working in that place. Like I said, there are miracles. People have the opportunity to come up each Sunday, and we have a prayer team. We lay hands on the sick, and we believe just what the Word says, that we should lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And we've seen so many things happen, and we know it's only by the Spirit of the living God. It's God working through His people there at Southview Worship Center.
Amen. In Hanesville, Alabama, yeah. And I had to let that go because we have a commercial plug, but that's an extra commercial. Just letting people know. It's not really a commercial, but it's letting people know, you know, when God is on the move of things, get into that. That's special anointing. Even with your mission, Chaplain Doug, I encourage people to get involved. You know, this is not just a his thing. It's all about us. You know, inmates need love, too. Everyone needs, just because they're inmates, that doesn't mean that they're the scum of the earth, they're not worth dealing with, because you never know, given any time, how you can get caught up in life and have to go.
Yes.
You know?
That's exactly right, Cedric. And you don't have to be an inmate in jail to be an inmate.
That's
true.
Amen.
You can be an inmate inside your own home.
Yeah.
You can be an inmate. You know, if you're bound up with fear and bound up with all kinds of anxiety and bound up with all kinds, of things that hold you back from being who God purposed and created you to be. So
true.
You don't necessarily have to be locked up in, you know, at the county or city jail to be an inmate.
Yeah. That is true. You know, that mental thing, that is so true. And that's a big part of sir. Let me ask you, I'm glad you brought that up. Because I've been working with facilitators in the mental health program, commissioner, and different things. Let me ask you something. Do you get a lot of inmates there that come to you and request that that let's just say they're, I don't like to say the word mentally ill, but they have problems?
Yes.
Mindset and different things. Because I think that's something that needs to be recognized as well.
Well, the thing is, you know, the state of Alabama shut down a lot of facilities. I mean, Bryce was shut down, Grill was shut down, where do these individuals go for mental evaluation or mental help? They're in prison. They're stuck in the county and city jails, and so we have we get a lot of men and women who have are mentally challenged, and there to minister to anybody and everybody that God brings across our path. You know, God doesn't, he says to love your neighbor. And, you
Amen.
Know, the neighbor that God, the next person God brings across your path is your neighbor.
Amen. That is so true. And that's another thing I would have to add. You know, because I notice sometimes in different churches and different things, we pray for each other and one another in there, but I'd be like thinking, come on. Got to remember the ones that are not here, the ones that are in facilities as well, God. And
right.
And pray. And also, and just like Lucretia was saying, like she deals with women and stuff. While it's a blessing, you know, because I know people need that. And after a while, I'm going to tell you that, why I said that, because I'm going to talk about that a little later, because they really need that. You know, you don't know people are going through, like he was saying, in life. They can be in prison, even out here, mentally. They go through a lot of things, you know, and everybody, sometimes people get caught up in the wrong place. But God, like you said, Captain Tom, there's a reason for everything that God does. And truly is.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, I wanted to talk to you about what you were telling the people about your the people that come in with you. Some of your prayer, I would say, warriors that minister with you as well. How do they feel about the ministry and everything going on?
Well, again, you know, I've got some volunteers that have been volunteering with me from the time.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing this for going on 24 years, and we have people that have volunteered for 24 years. You know, when you get involved in helping people, I hate to use the word, but it almost becomes addictive because. You love to see people's hearts change. You love to see something that's not just a Band-Aid on a problem, but you love to see when people finally the message of God's love and hope and the reality of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus isn't dead. He conquered death. He's alive. And when we invite him into our hearts, he lives inside of us. And so. When you start seeing people accepting Jesus Christ, man, you want to. It just doesn't stop,
right.
And that's why I think so many Christians today get bound up with religion and not relationship. I'm so glad that God brought the people in my life and used those individual people to draw me into a closer, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. That is so awesome. And here's another thing I wanted to ask you. I remember I was seeing you on TBN, and there was a young man there with you named Roger Brooks. Tell me the story about how you guys you met him and how you've, you guys have been on the same accord in the ministry, how you, you know, kind of overseen him in your life.
You know, Roderick was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
17 years old in the county jail. You know, the thing is, Cedric, I don't really get involved or ask questions about why they're there. So I'm not really concerned about, you know, what crimes or what they did or did not do. I'm simply there because I know how much God loves them as individual people, and that God wants to come. And sometimes, before a person is ready to receive Jesus Christ, they have to be in a place where they're on their back, where they're bottomed out, where they have nowhere else to look but up. And Cedric was one. I mean, excuse me. Roderick was one of those individuals. 17 years of age. Now he's looking, you know, at a stiff sentence, and he was open. He was receptive, and he heard. And he received Jesus Christ into his heart, and never looked back. And of course, I think you know the rest of the story with Roderick. That you know, he spent some time, you know, incarcerated. But when he was released,
that is true.
The first thing he did was he got involved with a local church.
Yeah.
So he was, you know. During his incarceration, he basically was being persecuted for his Christian faith, but he stood strong, and he's all the more stronger today for that.
That is so awesome. In actuality, Roger Brooks supposed to be with us today, but I reached out and somehow we got maybe scheduling a little off, but.
Right.
You're so right, because I know him. You're right. Awesome man. Awesome man.
Awesome.
God.
Awesome.
Yes,
and God is blessing him. He is really a blessed man, and God is blessing him.
Yes, he really is. God is opening so many great doors. You know, once you remain faithful to the Lord, even though sometimes we, you know, I can speak for my, my own experience in life going through that. And the story is, I might as well go and tell it. Chaplain Tom, you asked me about how you remember my face and everything. I'm like, yeah, but I wanted to wait, you know, and say I wanted to get you on the show and just say you were one of the guys that I've been through an experience in life, and it was also, and I met Roger at that time. It was in the county, and you came, you prayed, you say, God, help him on his mission, bless him on his mission. I said, mission? That's a mission in life. I said, okay. Because, you know, me growing up, and I'm telling my testimony for real. Yeah, you know, me growing up, being brought up in the church, grandmother and mother, sometimes we stray away. But, you know, God always has a plan to bring me in. And, you know, sometimes God has to put you in a certain place where, okay, I've been letting you get away with this and that going there, but this time you're going to do what I want.
Exactly.
But, and when I met you, you were like, and you baptized people. Here he is. From inside of the jail with the water, you sprinkled the water.
That's right.
I remember that. And you said, yeah, it's just like a submerged. You're going in with sincerity. And you prayed and said, Lord, you didn't judge. You prayed and just to help them on a mission. And from that night, you told me to read John 14. And I read it. And the next, God gave me a vision. And it was like, because a lot of guys in there I'd met that were going to prison and life, but I wasn't one of them because I didn't have that massive time. But I thank God that I was able to go through and meet a lot of people. Because of that, I started a Bible study. Started it. But in God, it does that. It is that way. And it left from there after I left, and I was talking with Roger. And, man, you're right. God, I see how God is really, really transforming
him.
awesome man of God and your ministry. It was, and I met you again, and you were over by the realtor. You're telling me you were over there and ministry, and God placed it again. I saw you on Trinity Podcast. I said, that's Chapman. I got a call here. I got to get it done. So me and Aaron Motley got together, and we things happened. But I want to let you know that that's true. God used people to be an inspiration.
Exactly.
You have a future. You have a hope, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for using you to speak life into my life when I saw a dead situation. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. And when you come out of one thing, God would lead you. And you were right. I didn't know at that time that God was leading me, okay, to a difference to have Bible study, pray for people. Because I'm just like, man, I'm shy. But God will push you out there.
Well, look what you're doing now. Look at how many souls you're
right.
touching.
You're right.
Being vocal. You don't have to be out in front of a pulpit. I mean, you can be behind a microphone.
True.
You know, there are people that use art. There are people that use all kinds of tools to reach other people for Jesus. So you don't have to be a polished a speaker, you know, in order to share Jesus Christ. All you need is love in your heart
and
a desire to see people saved and headed for heaven.
Amen.
That is so true. That is so true.
And I believe that, especially for this ministry, you might find people who might be afraid, you know, to go into their prisons or whatever. But I would say whatever it is, you know, just minister to someone. Let the Lord use you. He tells us to go, therefore, and teach all nations. Just have a willing heart to minister to whomever and wherever. But it is a blessing when you find, and we know it's more like a calling when you have that desire to go into the prison or the jail system to minister to others. I do have a question, though. I know you minister to the spiritual needs of the inmates, but is there anything else that you do in ministering to the physical needs or in other areas to them?
I wish I could, but there's, you know, we're talking thousands of people that go through the jails, and I just don't have the resources or the time, and I really wish that there would be some other ministries that would come alongside, that when an inmate is released, that would be there to
amen.
There's a lot of churches that have closed closets, and they have places, but I mean, I've got an inmate right now that is looking for a place when he's released. Where will he live? You know,
right?
Where will they go to get something to eat? That's a big need for churches to say, look, we have closed places for food. For a whole ministry to come alongside and to have that available.
Wow.
If someone wants to get involved in that area in helping you, how can they do that?
Yeah.
Well, first they would have to sit down and come up with some kind of a plan you have to understand that not every inmate that comes to the county or city is released necessarily the next day or week. We had a guy yesterday. We were at chapel service. As a matter of fact, is that my phone or? You there?
Yeah, we're here. We're here. You're live.
Okay. I
hear you.
Yeah. Evidently, I've got a phone call coming in, but the need is that. When somebody is released, there needs to be a plan.
Yes.
How to get back into society? They need to have a job. They need to have just the basic, fundamental necessities to live life, and not to be labeled. You know, if they go into the system, they don't need to wear a label the rest of their life. You know, the simple fact is we're all sinners,
yes.
And we've all fallen short of God's glory. So we don't need to be labeling people or looking down upon people, but we should be there to lift people up and to lift people out of their situation. You know, not to judge. We're not. It's not our job to sit in judgment of people. So, and that's true for the incarcerated. You know, these are men and women. You know, over 70% of the men and women are nonviolent people. You know, they may be in there for drugs or alcohol, and they're not in there for violent crimes.
Amen. That's so true. That is so true. So, you know, I relate, Chaplain Tongue. You're so right. So many people are in there for things, different things, but, you know, they get ostracized and differently, but, you know, my prayers are with their families and everyone else. And on that note, we're going to go to another commercial break, short commercial break, but we'll be right back with WKRP Live. Special guest, Chaplain Tom Brady.
So let your power fall when your name is called. Prove the doubt turns wrong. Lord, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me.
God is Lord, and I thank God for him. I thank God for this day. I thank God for having Chaplain Tom Bridges aboard and my guest co-host, Lucretia Stallworth Thomas. We're live back with WKRP. And, man, it's an awesome day. I just love talking about this and how the ministry, Chaplain Tom, has been blessing a lot of people. How many in all would you say that have come through, you had to come through that door that you've prayed and ministered with?
I've witnessed over 22,500 souls receive Jesus Christ in the county and city jail since September of 1992.
Glory to God. Awesome. And I'm one in that number. Glory to God. Hey, that is awesome. Hey, that really, truly is awesome. No, go ahead.
You know, people ask me all the time, Cedric, you know, how many souls have you saved, Brother Tom? I said, I've never saved one.
Amen.
I said, I've seen Jesus save thousands.
Come on, now. That's right. That's right.
You know, we don't save anybody. All we do is just witness with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I try to want to get across to people listening, that, you know, all we are witnesses of Jesus is the one who saves. Jesus is the one who heals. Jesus is the one who delivers. And we get the privilege of watching him do it.
Yes.
Man, yes, we do. We really do. And I'm so thankful, like you said, for your ministry and everybody. Well, tell the folks what you're doing now, Chaplain Tom, as far as your ministry. Is there any new certain projects you're working on or certain things? Let the listeners.
You know, from the very first day, almost 24 years ago, to today, the message has not changed. Jesus
Amen.
Christ is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's going to be the same tomorrow. He's going to be the same. Of course, God is eternal, but if there was a time, a billion years from today, he's going to be the same. And the message is the same. You know, we don't have a different message. We have the same message, the same God that has passed down for 2,000 years. And, you know, we have the baton in our hand now as our generation. To pass it on to the next generation, so you know, there's really no. I don't have a new program or a new, you know, I don't have no bells and whistles. I just simply have the same message, you know, that was passed to me, and I share it with as many souls that I can while I'm still on my earthly journey.
Yeah. Amen. That is so great, man. Well, I just pray that other people, you know, some things we take for granted and different things.
Right.
And you know, life is like those. My heart goes out to those people that died in Orlando. That got,
oh, my goodness. It's such a tragedy. And
that is.
You know, if we would spend more time on our knees in prayer, and really that's the answer for our country. our country can come back to its greatness when we put God back in it. You know, the country is in the shape it's in because we want to kick God out of it. But I find that if we invite God back into it, then everything will start operating as it's supposed to.
That's right.
But that's, you know, that's just how I believe. So
I'm the same.
I would hope that Christians all over this nation will begin to pray. You know, we just had Dr. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, come to Montgomery, Alabama, and he—that's basically what he said. You know, that Christians need to pray for our nation, and we could all do that.
Yeah,
you're so right, Lucretia. Before we go off air, is there any more questions or anything that you would like to ask the chaplain this time?
No, I just would like to say that it is just, we're so grateful to have men like Chaplain Bridges to go where some will never go. And Jesus was telling his disciples in Matthew 25, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. So it is just a blessing to see just the gospel being taken, you know, all into the world. It is just awesome. It touches my heart, and I love it because that's a ministry that's dear to me. I have a desire. I've done it and still have the desire to go in and minister to those who are inmates, those who cannot go to church like we do every Sunday. And it's going beyond the four walls of the church and going out and fulfilling the Great Commission. And it's just awesome to see him do that along with the other volunteers throughout, not just Montgomery, all over, going to make sure that everyone gets to hear the gospel.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Lucretia, for sharing that.
Hey, man, that was wonderful. You know, and
yes,
I said, again, I pray that everyone is receptive with Chaplain Tom is doing in life, because like Lucretia said, not everybody has a chance to do it, and not everybody really wants to do it, you know, to go behind those, you know, because they feel fear is one factor, and they don't know. But, you know, if you're God-led, and that's your mission, you know, God will protect you. He will.
Exactly.
And I thank him for that. And I thank Chaplain Tom. I thank you so much for taking our time with us on WKRP Live, and we hope to bring you back again when we talk about
Cedric. America. Just anytime you need, anytime you need somebody to just run their mouth for Jesus, just give me a call.
I will do.
I'm available.
Yeah, you stay in touch with me as well. So hopefully, get some word out about people, and like you were saying, because they force and help that you might need. For this ministry, that's the fun. I know. Bible said money answers all things. It does. It takes money, and also you have to go in with the right heart and spirit in mind.
And also, Cedric, if anybody wants to know more about our ministry, we do have a website. It's www.letgodarise.org.
All right. Tell it to them one more time so they can get it again. One more time.
The www.letgodarise.org. Letgodarise.org. And when they click on and they come to the website, the first thing they're going to see is Celebrate Jesus.
And then we are about to, well, thank you so much for that. And I pray you all got it. And Chaplain Tom, thank you for today. And my guest co-host, Lucretia, thank you so much for being with us today on the program. And until next time, you know, let your light shine. I thank you for listening to WKRP Live. And we're going to go out with this commercial. God bless you. Till next time.
Jesus came to destroy all the works of the enemy. He forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Southview Worship Center, 141 Hainville Plaza, Hainville, Alabama, where miracles are taking place.